Today is the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, and we have several announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. And we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. Tomorrow, after the 8:30 a.m. Mass, there'll be the cleaning of the chapel. The epistle for today is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which has been created according to God in justice and holiness of truth. Wherefore, put away lying and speak truth each one with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your anger. Do not give place to the devil. He who is wont to steal, let him steal no longer. But rather let him labor, working with his hands at what is good, that he may have something to share with him who suffers need. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. At that time, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the Pharisees in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who made a marriage feast for his son, and he sent his servants to call in those invited to the marriage feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatlings are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the marriage feast.' But they made light of it and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, and the rest laid hold of his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. And when the king heard of it, he was angry, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The marriage feast indeed is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the crossroads and invite to the marriage feast whomever you shall find.' And his servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. And the marriage feast was filled with guests. Now the king went in to see the guests, and he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how didst thou come here without a wedding garment?' But he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind his hands and his feet and cast him forth into the darkness outside, where there will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.' Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This brief epistle obviously refers to the sacrament first of baptism, but also the other sacraments, because when he says renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new man which has been created according to God in justice and holiness of truth. The new man is when the infant baby, the boy or girl, or the small child, or the adult, or the elderly person is baptized. Their sin is removed. They're been given by God a gift of the right to heaven, as you know, and they have the indescribable gift of sanctifying grace, created share in the life of God that's in their soul. And they also possess the Holy Trinity. So everyone here who is in the state of grace, the Holy Trinity is dwelling in you, because you have sanctifying grace. So that is why he tells us, St. Paul, now that you have these beautiful gifts, reject sin. When he says, be angry and do not sin, sort of at first sounds like a contradiction, because everyone thinks, oh, he's angry, that's a sin. No. Unjust anger is a sin. If someone is a wimp and doesn't condemn what's wrong or correct what's wrong at home, workplace, wherever it is, and doesn't speak the truth and have passion and anger about it, that's a sin. But he's saying, don't let your anger be unjust or get out of control. He says, don't give place to the devil. And that's why wearing this brown scapular and saying your rosary keeps the devil away. Now those poor lost souls a few months ago that called the rosary a weapon, they're a threat to the country. Well, it is a weapon against the devil and his agents. Are they going to take away our rosaries, our mass? We might have to be martyred first. And then he concludes by giving a general reminder, do not steal. And those who are suffering in need, to share with them. This holy gospel, we have to contract it because we will not neglect the saints. They'll be brief. Do not worry. The wedding feast is heaven, but it's previewed by the holy sacrifice of the Mass and being a member of the church. So it's a parable that he spoke to the chosen people, the Pharisees. And he compares heaven to a marriage feast for his son. So it's the king is God the Father, and the marriage feast is his son. And he sends his servants, he sends his priests to invite all. And he, over and over, sends the invitation. But what do? They make light of it. Oh, you don't have to go to church. It's a beautiful day. I have football games to watch. I want to go hiking. I don't need to go to church on Sunday. I pray to God in my own way. That's a dangerous path. You follow Jesus Christ. He is the way, not you. You're not the way to heaven. Christ is the way. Christ is the truth. Each person doesn't have his own truth. So all you children and people here, well, that's my truth. That it doesn't even make sense. That statement is a lie. And if anyone here thinks that we speak too much about giving, showing where these evil things come from, saying it's the devil or satanic, don't be deceived. I'm not even saying it nearly as much as our Lord and the apostles did, exposing the evil one. But when the invitation was sent, as the gospel continues, they made light of it. They left, they walked away. They went to their business, to their jobs, their hobbies, their little projects. And some of them they actually kidnapped, abused, and then they murdered them. Those are the martyrs, the saints. Priests, religious, virgins. When the king, when God the Father heard this, he was very angry, and he went to the city with his army and destroyed it. And that's what happened to the descendants of these Pharisees, the whole city of Jerusalem was leveled, destroyed, because they mistreated the invitation of God the Father to come to the wedding feast of his Son, God the Son, who came to them first. They're the chosen people. And so the invitation continues, because that was 2,000 years ago. So every day there are invitations of the Holy Ghost to each one of us, little invitations and big ones, to get on the track to heaven. Give up that vice. Do this good practice. Say the rosary every day. Avoid that near occasion of sin. Those are graces that you get. And so, near the end of time, the King, God the Father, comes to see the guests, those who are invited. But it's not the judgment day yet. So he sees someone who's at the feast. But he is, it says, he did not have on the wedding garment. He did not have sanctifying grace. And the King, God goes and says to him, friend. He wasn't condemning him for not having the wedding garment, for not having sanctifying grace. How didst thou come in here without a wedding garment? And it was the reaction, his answer. He was speechless. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. And so the king told his attendants to bind him up and cast him out. Meaning, not purgatory, but hell. Because he mistreated the things of God and the invitation of Jesus Christ. So the wedding garment that we receive in baptism, sanctifying grace, and it's symbolized by the white cloth that's put over the head or the shoulders, that must be cherished and protected. Now this last week we had 4 children who were doubtfully baptized, and you know all about that. The last few years how we've been scrupulous and spend a great deal of time and effort. We're doing the bare minimum. That's our job. No patting on the back. No self-praise here. We're just telling you what has to be done to save souls. And these children, they're doubtfully baptized. So we contacted the parents. Give us photos. Give us videos. Give us testimonies. Give us their documents. Anything you have, and we will look at it and analyze it. And the priests all discussed it. Because it's very serious. It is a sacrilege to repeat baptism when it is not necessary. Oh, I'll just do it over again. No. It may be valid. Or it is valid. Well, the photos showed that the priest was pouring it on the hair on one of the children. It turned out that we did all of them conditional baptism with the whole ceremony. So, as I said, do not take it for granted, your faith and your sacraments, your baptism. Finally, and if you want to know why sometimes the priests go longer, is because there are people on the internet who can't come here. And they get parts of these recordings. We're speaking to you first. But the people out around the country are looking for some crumbs to keep them on the path. And by the way, most of you know the former organist here, Father Violette, Mark Violette. His name is on that organ. I hope you pray for him every day. We visited him in the hospital and he was saying his rosary. and we said it with him to help him. That is the prayer that takes a soul right to heaven. Today is the feast of St. Bridget, and she's the descendant, one of the descendants of the King of Sweden. And she married this prince, as is common, royalty marries royalty from other countries. And they had 8 children. But she, because of her great holiness, convinced her husband that both of them, they decided to live chastely. And then they agreed to, when the children are of age, that he entered a monastery. And one of their children became a saint, St. Catherine of Sweden. And she was known in her widowhood, after her husband died, of good works, severe penance, and that Jesus himself would speak to her and inspire her. So she, hearing the secrets of our Savior, founded the religious order. And she died in 1373. Tomorrow, October 9th, St. John Leonard, and he was born in Italy in 1541. And as a young boy, what did he like to do? What we encourage our altar boys to do. He liked to be alone and say his prayers, because that gave him peace of soul, even as a young boy. He founded the Clerks Regular of the Mother of God. And he was known as a great priest for fearless defense of the faith against the heretics, the Protestants, who were taking over Italy in the 16th century, and also his care for the sick. And he died in 1609. Tuesday, October 10th, St. Francis Borgia. He was a married man, but after his wife passed away and his children had grown up, he provided for his children, and then he entered the Order of the Society of Jesus, founded by St. Ignatius of Loyola, that first statue of the saint holding the book. That's the symbolizing the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. So he was so happy to be a religious. And he made a vow to be always practice humility and never seek honors. He didn't want that. Because he was so humble and didn't want the position, his fellow priests elected him head of the entire Jesuit order. Wednesday, October 11th. If you're able to come to Mass that day, it's very important. It is the feast of the maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is her greatest title, the Mother of God. You know this. But it was instituted less than 100 years ago by Pope Pius XI in 1931. And that was the 15th 100 year, the 15th centenary of the Greek Council of Ephesus in 451 that condemned Nestorius, who denied that the Blessed Virgin Mary was the Mother of God. He said, yes, she's the mother of Jesus, but not the Mother of God. So that the Holy Mother Church has a special feast just to honor that great title of hers. Friday, October 13th, feast of St. Edward, King and Confessor. And he was King of England about 1,000 years ago. Imagine having a king who is a saint. And he is known to be a great father of all his subjects. He took care of the orphans and the poor. And as so many saints do, he did not attribute any of his miracles or his good works or his sanctity to himself. He says, oh, that, what happened there, that's St. John the Evangelist. He did that. That's like St. John Vianney attributing it, his miracles, to St. Philomena. And then finally, on Saturday the 14th, Pope St. Callistus I. And he was a pope and martyr in the 3rd century. And he died in 223. So that's 1,800 years ago. And obviously these saints, these first popes, virtually all of them were martyrs. What he is known for is instituting the Ember Days that we just celebrated. 4 times a year they're celebrated, or they take place, to replace the 4 seasons that the pagans for millennia had these worship services honoring the harvest and the 4 seasons. And the Holy Mother of the Church sanctified them and made them Ember Days. And here, in our calendar, we continue to honor them, even though Pope Paul VI in the 1960s abolished them. Let me put it this way, supposedly abolished them. So that is everything we want to tell you, and we thank you for your indulgence. But the last reference to Father Ward, he said, and he was, for those of you who are here, he was very animated, quite intense. He said, it's not easy for the priest to be up here preaching at length, but we have you so little time in 1 week. It's like a 5% of the week that your time is here, and we want to make sure you get as much as possible to strengthen your faith, but especially your love of God, and this month, love of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and, of course, the holy angels. May God bless you.